The Mundus Imaginalis, Module 6. Amplifying the Active Imagination, Images. Having discovered the characters at play within your psyche and the active imagination, let's now turn our attention to amplifying the other images in your active imagination. Once again, to perform this step, go back to the beginning of the active imagination and deal with each image one at a time. Amplifying the setting. Natural environments have followed human beings throughout evolution. So in that sense, there should be a strong archetype related to both objects and events in nature. Jung was very interested in nature and loved being there. He also claimed that human beings have a need to be in natural environments in order to stay whole and healthy. Especially for our mental health, he argued, it is important to have contact with nature. Natural life is the nourishing soil of the soul, he said. Human existence should be rooted in earth, and nature is an incomparable guide if you know how to follow her. Whilst Jung did not propose any specific nature archetype, many myths, legends, and fairy tales are linked to particular types of natural areas, which are also often associated with mythological figures. The following poem by Baudelaire illustrates how the setting of the active imagination gives voice to our inner world, pointing towards the road we must travel on our journey towards wholeness, towards individuation. Nature is a temple in which living pillars sometimes give voice to confused words. Man passes there through forests of symbols, which look at him with understanding eyes. Looking to the active imagination, then, is the setting of the active imagination a forest, a mountain, a meadow, a country, a childhood place? As we look towards the setting, we ask ourselves, do we know this place? What does it remind us of? What does it make us think of? How do we feel? What of our inner nature is this reflecting? Amplification is then done by reading about the area and its many dimensions and its characteristics, immersing oneself in appreciating its contours, its textures, its smells. Let's take a look at some of these settings and their archetypal meanings. The forest is a place where life thrives, free from control or cultivation or civilization. Every character we read about that is sent into the woods is likewise brought out, implying that while the woods contribute to the story as a significant obstacle, it is never one that is not eventually conquered. Nevertheless, the character must still travel through it. It is always the woods that stand between defeat and success. In fact, the woods are oftentimes what makes the character's success possible. They enter the forest with little or no knowledge of how to proceed, but come out self-aware. Not only must our heroes go into the woods, but they must go all the way in and confront the darkness that awaits them. Mountain peaks, where heaven and earth touch, are places of divine revelation. An ascent to a mountain top is a symbol of initiation. Yet the symbolism of mountains are not exhausted by the metaphor of spiritual heights. In the mountains, soul and spirit touch each other. The mountains with their luscious, fertile valleys and unforgiving peaks, which are referred to as the death zones in the Himalayas, seem like an all-encompassing symbol that marries all kinds of dualisms, soul and spirit and matter, masculine and feminine, life and death. All kinds and life of treasures come from the mountains, starting with the precious metals and finishing with the majority of the world's freshwater resources. Often in dreams, large bodies of water, oceans, lakes, and pools, symbolize the unconscious. As with bodies of water, we often see the surface but cannot easily see into the depths. Also, the vastness of the ocean symbolizes the vastness of the unconscious mind. The sea is the favorite symbol for the unconscious, the mother of all that lives. One of the most frequently encountered water symbols in active imagination is the river. And here we see that the river embodies the flow of life, the teleology, as Jungians say, or the goal-directedness of the psyche. It also embodies the fatefully powerful direction of the flow of our lives. Another common active imagination setting is that of a car or a vehicle of some sort, and indicates how we are currently moving or traveling through life, or the road we are on. Amplifying buildings and rooms. One of the most common of all active imagination settings is a house, and Jung took the house to be symbolic, a metaphor of the psyche, and the rooms representative of our emotions, attitudes, and complexes. Let's take a look at one of Jung's dreams. I was in a house I did not know, which had two stories. It was my house. I found myself in the upper story, where there was a kind of salon furnished with fine old pieces in Rococo style. On the walls hung a number of precious old paintings. I wondered that this should be my house and thought, not bad. But then it occurred to me that I did not know what the lower floor looks like. Descending the stairs, I reached the ground floor. There, everything was much older. I realized that this part of the house must date from about the 15th or 16th century. The furnishings were medieval. The floors were of red brick. Everywhere, it was rather dark. I went from one room to another thinking, now I really must explore the whole house. I came upon a heavy door and opened it. Beyond it, I discovered a stone stairway that led down into a cellar. Descending again, I found myself in a beautifully vaulted room which looked exceedingly ancient. Examining the walls, I discovered layers of brick amongst the ordinary stone blocks and chips of brick in the mortar. As soon as I saw this, I knew the walls dated from Roman times. My interest by now was intense. I looked more closely at the floor. It was of stone slabs, and in one of these I discovered a ring. When I pulled it, the stone slab lifted again, and again I saw a stairway of narrow stone steps leading down into the depths. These too I descended, and entered a low cave cut into a rock. Thick dust lay on the floor, and in the dust were scattered bones and broken pottery, like the remains of a primitive culture. I discovered two human skulls, obviously very old and half disintegrated. Then I awoke. Jung interpreted the dream along the following lines. The house was a symbol of his psyche or psychology. Our homes being amongst the most primal of our collective symbols. The home is where the heart is, as the old saying goes. Our homes are our castles, irrespective of how modest they may be, our sanctuaries. They are sacred ground. The border of the home constitutes a boundary between me and mine and the world and the other. Its boundaries are designed to keep the unwelcome out and admit the welcome in by my invitation. In my home, ideally, I feel contained, safe, and held. The home symbolically is an extended psychic body, a manifestation of my soul in the world. And inasmuch as it holds me, it is also a symbol of the mother. This symbolic significance explains much of the cultural rituals and protocols around our homes and their status in our society. Once you become a guest in my home, there is a subtle but significant shift in your status from being someone out there to someone in here. The beliefs and cultural norms of the Bedouin tribes are particularly telling in this regard. This also goes some way to explaining the lasting psychological trauma of a home invasion and the frequent need to relocate. In the dream, Jung is clear that it is not just any house, but his house, my house. Once one is armed with the concept of the collective unconscious, the rest follows fairly organically. As Jung descends the various layers of his house, he is descending the layers of his own psychology, psyche, or soul. What he discovers is that each successive layer connects him with an earlier time in man's history and the history of his ancestral line. It also casts an increasingly wide net so that his interconnectedness to his fellow man is increased. Or perhaps it's better stated to say that he is increasingly connected to an ever wider group of fellow human beings who share, at the various levels, his ancestry. He begins in his personal living space on the upper floor and ends in the shared prehistoric roots of all mankind. One of the most frequent uses of places in dreams is to show you whose turf you are on, whose influence are you under. So a good way to understand the significance of a place is to ask, who does it belong to? When analyzing houses and buildings in your active imagination, try to remember the shape of the buildings, the condition of the house or a room, and how you felt in each room. Was the room tidy or disorganized? Messy? Familiar or unfamiliar? In Jungian terms, the kitchen could be a metaphor for the alchemical lair, the place where substances are transformed as in the cooking process. The bathroom could then be a metaphor for a place of cleansing, and we could ask ourselves what needs to be cleaned or gotten rid of. The bedroom could be a metaphor for the place we get into bed with someone else, and so represent a place of intimacy, connectedness, relatedness. The dining room could be a metaphor for the place we nourish ourselves and others, and could represent how we are seeking to be nourished or to nourish others. The laundry could be a metaphor for the place that we store or clean our dirty linen, and here the pun is apparent. The unconscious is often thought of as being divided into rooms where we keep or hide different memories or aspects of ourselves. Opening a door and entering a room generally symbolizes a willingness to enter and face areas that we are normally hidden from. Rooms also symbolize an aspect of your personality. Note the condition of the room. As the house typically represents the self, an unfinished house or one in poor repair may be pointing out the work required on some aspects of mind or body. Ask yourself, what part of me is it that feels like that, thinks like that, behaves like that? Where have I seen it functioning in my life lately? Where have I seen this characteristic at work in my life lately? Amplifying animals. Just as people have characteristics that you can identify with, so do animals, often representing our instinctual nature, an involuntary drive towards certain activities. Here Jung tells us, all psychic processes whose energies are not under conscious control are instinctive. Jung identified 5 prominent groups of instinctive factors: creativity, reflection, activity, sexuality, and hunger. Hunger is a primary instinct of self-preservation, perhaps the most fundamental of all the drives. Sexuality is a close second, particularly prone to projection, which makes it possible to divert its purely biological energy into other channels. The urge to activity manifests in travel, love of change, restlessness, and play. Under reflection, Jung included the religious urge and the search for meaning. Creativity was for Jung in a class by itself. His descriptions of it refer specifically to the impulse to create art. When amplifying animals look to their nature, to their instinctive drives to uncover what is activated or activating within our psyche, ask yourself, where do I see that same trait in my personality? What part of me is it that feels like that, thinks like that, behaves like that? Where have I seen it functioning in my life lately? Where have I seen this characteristic at work in my life lately? Activity. Amplify the images in your active imagination. Amplify the images in your active imagination. The setting, the buildings, the rooms, the animals, the shapes, and so on. Then ask yourself, Where do I see that same trait in my personality? What part of me is it that feels like that, thinks like that, and behaves like that? Where have I seen it functioning in my life lately? Where have I seen this characteristic at work in my life lately? We've come to the end of Module 6. I hope to see your contributions on the Facebook forum.